Hello and welcome to Mega City Book Club, the podcast all about the galaxy's greatest comics, mostly the British ones. I'm Eamon Clarke, and I am in Close Encounters in Peterborough with Graham Cannon. Graham, welcome back to the book club.
Thank you for having me again, Eamon.
Well, thank you for arranging us a room upstairs at Close Encounters. We are crammed in, surrounded by comic boxes and comics, which is not too bad, actually. And we were talking before, this is your third appearance.
Yes. We've mostly covered drawn Henry Flint comics.
Yeah.
One of my favourite Judge Dredd artists.
And there's been a fair bit of Rob Williams in there because we did Trifecta in episode 109, Aliens Incubus in 203. This will be about 314, I think.
Zero in the middle of this.
No, right, yes. I put it down there. Episode 315, I think this will be. Okay. Anyway, right. Let's get to it. Tell us what book you've chosen to come back to the book club.
It's the one I saw as a cap end to the beginner trifecta where we get introduced by Smiley. It's called The Small House.
Judge Dredd, The Small House by Rob Williams and Henry Flint. Some colours by, coloured by Chris Blythe. Some at the back of the book by Gary Caldwell.
I believe Henry does the colours in the first story.
Oh, right. Okay. That's the Sam story, isn't it?
Yes.
Lettered by Annie Parkhouse. Editor, of course, Matt Smith. Progs 2004 to 2006, 2100 to 2109, and Prog 2134. There's a sort of coda.
Epilogue.
Yeah. And we are in 2012 for the first story. Is that right? 2012, 2018, 2019.
Let me just have a look at a little, because they had a little copyright. 2016, 2018, and 2019 is probably when it was published.
Yeah, forget the 2012 bit. 2016, 2018, 2019. Okay. So first of all, why are we back with Rob Williams and Henry Flint?
It's just because it's Henry Flint, really.
Yep.
Because I think it's the most recent thing they've had published. No. When we arranged this, it was the most recent thing. They have just had the Maitland story that came out.
Right. A Better World?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've not quite finished that one. It was a bit too real, real world parallels happening.
Right. So, I mean, behind the scenes stuff, you and I have had The Small House on our agenda for a couple of years now.
Well, it came out in 2019. We probably had it not long after that.
Yes.
And
it's 2025. Yeah. Okay. We're going to give a spoiler warning because it is a bit difficult to discuss some of the sort of key moments in this story without at least talking a little bit about Trifecta, a little bit about Titan, Enceladus, however you say it. Even, dare I say it, the Apocalypse War.
Oh, yeah. There's a reference to Apocalypse Wars, reference to, like I said, Titan, bit of reference to Chaos Day, most likely.
So if you've not read Judge Dredd, The Small House, what are you doing, first of all? But yes, you should probably, it's a slim volume. You can probably read it in one sitting. So you probably should pick it up before you listen to this episode. There endeth the spoiler warning. So, Graham, where do we find Dredd and his colleagues at the start of this story?
Well, at this point, Dredd has created his own little faction inside Mega C1 where he's trying to deal with outside threats from in and out. He has Gerhardt from SAS and Dirty Frank, everyone's favourite Wally Squad member.
Everybody loves Dirty Frank.
Maitland from Accounts.
Right.
Who was introduced in Trifecta.
Yes, I think so.
And we've just had joining that group Sam from Trifecta, who was on the Titan moon or the Titan planet dealing with the ice aliens led by, what's her name?
Amy Nixon.
Amy Nixon trying to get her revenge on the city.
Yeah. And Judge Sam is, if I remember right, he's a Brit-Sit judge who's transferred to Mega City, and he's a bit like Maitland. He's one of these judges that's got a job.
He's not an architect.
He's an architect, yes. So he's an architect judge. Maitland is an accountant judge. Yeah. Gerhardt, of course, is a judge who judges judges.
Who's seen a lot of battle damage in following the Dredd.
I mean, we're probably jumping ahead a little bit, but there's a sort of, it's almost like a visual joke that every time you see Gerhardt, another bit of him seems to have been replaced, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Great fun for the artist. There's more bionics every time you see him.
A little weird wire-lipped, half-lips he has.
Yeah.
I think he has a mustache.
He originally had a mustache, yes. He's now got, there's at least one arm, I think, one leg. Anyway, he's been through a lot of stuff, Geralt. So we've got this Dredd and a team, one of my favourite subgenres of Dredd.
Mm.
Who are they up against?
They're up against Judge Smiley, who's sort of the judge behind the curtain type thing, the machination. I think he came, if it's retconned to be post-Magruder or post-Apocalypse War.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
like
I think he's
someone to work behind the scenes in case things get out of hand with like Judge Cal and that, I believe.
Yeah.
Might have been actually Judge Cal that caused it. Where if one judge gets too powerful, he's there to like right the wrongs.
Yeah.
Because he was introduced during the uprising in Trifecta. A new power was trying to take over.
And for anybody who doesn't remember, this is the judge who's sort of based on appearance and name for Smiley from Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy on television.
Oh, okay.
Alec Guinness's portrayal of him. And he is, as you say, probably since after Cal, he's supposed to have been observing secretly the goings on, waiting for something to happen that would need him and his team to take action. And of course, his behind the scenes machinations, Dredd is now aware of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
If not, he was partially aware at some point in the past, but never interacted with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's made mention they need some behind the scenes by Magruder when she's talked to Dredd. I remember Trifecta.
Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah. Okay. So Rob Williams is writing this one because in the past, with Trifecta, of course, we had the three writers.
Mm. Rob,
Sal Ewan, and Cy Spurrier. Yeah. Yeah. And then Aliens Incubus, there was
Ghost of Fun, the crossover by Ragnar and Dibble.
Yeah. So this time we got Rob Williams writing it all. Is he one of the best post-Wagner writers for Dredd?
I say yes. Yeah. If my favourite, he is the draw for me for the comic, because I know a lot of older heads would go like, oh, I don't read if Wagner's not writing it. And Wagner hasn't wrote any in like 2-3 years.
Yeah, it hasn't been for a while.
And Rob took a break while he was doing like, he's basically doing America, but he seems to have come back with a force.
Yeah. He's got his own project, obviously, with Piper Petrelhead, which, you know, more power to that. Great. But when he's writing Dredd, I just love it.
Mm. Especially when he's working with Henry Flint.
Perfect.
Who is the best modern Dredd eyes. See, if you could put more faces on a Mount Rushmore, he'd be the fifth.
Well, I mean, now you've got to one of my questions already. Is, you know, is Rob Williams the best modern Dredd writer? And is Henry Flint the best modern Dredd artist?
Mm. But that's the thing with Dredd's art, is this, he has no house style, is it, really?
No.
When you think of like the golden period of the Boland, Esquerra, McMahon, and Smith, they are all very different artists. Even Ian Gibson, you could put in there a little bit, though. Yeah. He's more doing other stuff with the Wagners and the Grants. But yeah.
Yeah. What I like about Rob when he does Dredd is he has that combination of the hard, gritty stuff. He's got some great lines, which we're going to get to in this story. And he also has the humor as well. He manages some very funny lines in this quite serious story.
Luckily, he has Dirty Frank to do a lot of the absurd humor,
yeah,
which he obviously enjoys writing, as I've seen in some of his other works outside of 2000 AD.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sensitive Clegg makes an appearance as well.
Everyone's favourite
Clegg. Everybody's favourite Clegg. Sensitive
I forgot
Clegg.
This is when he returned.
Yes, I had forgotten about this as well. And that he's on this, he's on an H wagon or something with Dredd. And Dredd says to him, if you speak again, I'll shoot you. I just love that line. Some great lines in this story. Any particular lines, you know, apart from the really portentous ones that stuck out to you?
Probably the one at the end, but before we get to that, when we talk about the end,
okay,
where he's talking to, when he sentences Smiley, we'll say for now.
Right. And there is I liked the one early on in this where there's the possibility that what they're dealing with is the supernatural, which Dredd is sort of dismisses, but he says this great line, I believe in the supernatural. I've put my fist through the supernatural.
Yes. Dredd seems to be so serious a man that the supernatural elements are there, but he has barely any time to be fazed by it. He's so stoically focused on one thing that even the recently with the Dredd story, all this mind altering horrors happening in Dredd is just like, yep.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
A Wednesday.
Yes, that's right. I'll jump ahead slightly because we do have Smiley's stealth, I don't know what you call them, ninja drudge.
SAS type tactical unit.
Like, yes.
Go behind the lines and take out certain leaders that the government doesn't like.
And they have hidden rooms and hidden corridors.
Rooms without doors, I believe they said.
Rooms without doors. And Dredd and his team are aware of them. They've now got technology which allows them to see them because they're using some kind of stealth suits.
Mm-hmm.
I know this has been pointed out many a time, but Michael Carroll also had his own group of stealth ninja judges hanging out in the Great Hall of Justice.
Mm.
I don't know if you were aware, years and years ago, Pete Wells, famous mega fan, did a Christmas song that Judge Hersey should check the halls.
That's clever.
There seem to be a lot of stealth judges going on.
Was that during the, was it Every Empire Falls story?
Probably, yeah.
Which I think happened between Trifecta and this as well.
Right, right.
I believe that's where it goes.
Would be it, yeah. Okay, talking of notable lines, let's get to the sort of middle of the book. Smiley and Dredd have a conversation.
Mm, very important conversation.
Exactly.
Basically, Smiley telling him to back down.
Yes.
So saying he's replaceable, which we have seen many people try to say to Dredd and been proven wrong.
Yes. And he tells Dredd that I don't know if he uses exact words.
Like hammer, sorry.
Yeah, you're a blunt instrument. We use you when we need you. You're a blunt instrument. You're a hammer. Yeah. And that you need direction from people who know what they're doing.
Mm, you're not a strategist.
Yeah. Spoilers, Dredd's going to prove him wrong.
Mm.
But during that conversation, the line that got all the attention at the time, the panel that you often see reprinted, turns up on the forums and so on, turns up in articles, is about what Smiley says to Dredd. And Smiley says a line about what the judges are.
Mm.
Do you want to tell?
He says, we're fascists, aren't we, Joe? So to the extent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a famous panel with Dredd and Smiley says, we're fascists. And it is a bit like making the subtext the text, literally, isn't it?
Always been there from early, not at the beginning.
Right.
So it was just boys, adventures, sci-fi, police. You just had normal police at that point. They didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Magna Grant began to like, well, there's something here. Let's work on this. Let's develop. And that's also why they broke up, isn't it, really? Is like, Wang says, yes, he's a fascist, but he can change. And Anna Grant's like, he's a fascist and he won't change.
Right.
Famous chopper shooting in the back or not shooting in the back type thing.
Yeah. As you say, it's always been there. It's always been the underlying tension about liking Dredd stories or stories about Dredd. It's always been, for me, that sort of like dichotomy. On one hand, we admire him because he can take a beating, he keeps on going, he's determined. But on the other hand, he is the literal figurehead.
Oh, he's a bastard.
Yes. Literally. And even though you might say he's softened in his old age, it's still in the weekly prog. He's putting people in cubes for minor stuff on a regular basis.
Yeah, was it? The Dredd Reckon, I think they must talk about, like, he has got a character arc. It's so slow that it takes 30 years for him to go, you know what, mutants might not be that bad.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And it's more because of selfish reason. We're like, I've got mutant relatives, apparently. They're not bad.
It's strange that it took the realization that he had a family out there for him to actually say, this is wrong, we should change. You wonder what it would make him, well, maybe a letter from a Democrat or whatever, these moments. Or maybe, as we said before we started recording,
what caused him to leave the first time before an accomplice was a letter from a child?
Yeah, astonishing stuff. And of course, you mentioned before we started recording, Judge Beanie, who is perhaps Dredd's
almost close to a surrogate daughter at this point, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, Dredd does that a lot. He adopts a lot of cadets as his, like, sort of children. You had it with Judge Giant in the beginning, sort of lost boy that he's helped find his way. Anson in the film is that, which he's not in the comics. He's more like a close friend. Hershey's a little bit like that. Like, he was a mentor to her in the early days when they were on the Judge Shard quest.
Yeah.
And yeah. Bean is just the most recent Wagner example of. DeMarco was that as well.
Yeah.
She went her own way, as it were.
Yeah.
But yeah, Judge Bean is. Dredd, I think, has always known who he is. And that's part of his unwaveringness. But he also understands, I should not be the system.
Right.
Beanie should be the system, or at least as he's been told by his own judge father, it wasn't meant to last forever, Joe.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't meant to last forever. How many times has Dredd got to be told that before he will do anything?
Speaking of the first time he was trying to replace Kraken, had his handbook on how to be a judge with his own personal notes, and what the most important line in it is, what about the big lie?
Yeah. So I thought this was a fascinating line. It wasn't meant to last forever. Here's Smiley saying the literal thing, we're fascists. What does that make Smiley's group, though? If Dredd and the Jew foot judge are fascists.
What's worse than a fascist?
What's worse than a fascist?
Super fascist, I guess.
Yes. Super fascist with stealth powers who hide in the walls and who have been...
Then, of course, it plays to Dredd, who's always been a bit paranoid.
Yeah.
Thinking, who can he trust? Like, he's got his unit right now, but who else out there can he actually trust?
Well, the good thing, in a way, is that he trusts his little team.
Mm.
And he's always done this. He's always brought up people that he trusts through the ranks. And like I say, I love a genre where Dredd is putting together a team go do a mission.
Some of my favorites are, like, Judge Shard Origins is a great example of that, with Logan wanting to be on the team. And look where he is now.
Yeah.
Chief Judge.
But of course, it also leads to the bad side in a way, which is, who can he trust apart from that little team? And one of his previous teammates, who's now the chief judge, Hershey, clearly at this point in this story, he doesn't trust her.
No. And she knows he's up to something, because
Said
never been good at actually hiding anything he's up to.
Nope. And of course, and there's another great line, a panel. Dredd again, grim, you know, the instructions, Dredd, grim. And he turns to Hershey and says,
I do not recognize your authority. Like, literally snaps, like, turns, snaps at her as he's trying to leave. She's like, tell me what you're up to.
It's astonishing. I mean, it's amazing
which
stuff.
I think Hershey brings back to him in a later story.
Yeah.
But I can't remember which one, sadly.
Well, it'll be presumably before she contracts her fatal illness and, you know, dies, comes back, whatever. Spoilers. Yeah,
that was an incredible story. I remember that story.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, there's an awful lot of intense stuff going on in this story. There are at least, well, there's more than a couple, but there's those couple of big moments. Smiley to Dredd, we're fascists. Dredd to Hershey, I no longer respect your authority, or I no longer recognize your authority. Other great funny lines. Dirty Frank, as ever, narrating his own personal emotions.
Never figure out what his accent's meant to be.
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, also, we get the full story of his origins. We had a little bit of it in one of the undercover stories where he's just in the snow bleeding out, and that's how he lost his eye to the frostbite. We actually see what caused him to fully break.
Talk about laying track, which we often talk about with Wagner on Dredd, but Rob's been teasing that for years. These scenes,
that was 20 years probably.
Yeah, these scenes of Frank lying in the snow and somebody speaking to him and the snowflake and everything. And we finally find out in this story what was the mission he was on and literally why he calls himself Dirty.
Yeah, it's they basically knew Dubuxor was coming.
Yeah.
And it was sort of an in. And Smiley always becomes John Wagner again, where they're like, why did you do Fox War? Mixie was just too big.
Yes.
We did a hell of, like, a deal as a sea, so we decide, or destroy half of it.
Destroy half of it, yeah. And here we find out that there was foreknowledge and that people were killed because of it.
It's because isn't there, like, I don't know if it's a true story about the president during World War II knew Pearl Harbor or something like it was happening.
It's a well-known sort of theory that the American president had full knowledge of Pearl Harbor and let it happen in order to
justify it entering the war.
It's much discussed.
Okay.
I think Frank Miller quotes it in The Dark Knight Returns, I think.
Oh, right.
Possibly. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, so there's big stuff going on in this story. We'll get to the finale and what happens between Dredd and Smiley in a moment. But before we do that, if we mention Rob Williams, we've already said that possibly the best artist on Dredd in the 21st century, Henry Flint. What do you make of his art on The Small House?
I think he just keeps getting better. I don't know how he does it. Because you think he started in, what, the late 90s?
Yeah,
like somewhere in the 90s. End of the painted boom. So he's got some hand-coloured stuff. But yeah, because he did, what was it, Wilderland Story, I believe that's when he started.
Right, okay.
So that was 98, 99.
Right.
But yeah, he's a mainstay. I wish more people outside of Trazzini knew about him, because I think he's just an amazing talent in terms of creativity. And
he's gone off and done the odd American thing. Mm. I know he did the Omega Men for DC, but nobody, I think, read that. And I think he was fairly disheartened by it and just came back and now works.
And he just doesn't care for superheroes at all, does he?
No, no.
I think he's done commissions and he's had to look up who he's drawn before, I think, in the past.
Yeah.
Because he's just, it's like Garth Ennis, superheroes aren't his thing. He's, no. He likes 2000 AD and that.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's so many British creators who just say, no, I don't do superheroes. And he doesn't do American stuff. He just seems to be happy working for Tharg. But he is, he's just the greatest artist at the moment on Dredd. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about storytelling and how, I won't mention any other artist names because that'd be a bit unfair, but how some artists produce perfectly acceptable, wonderful storytelling, but not every page they do is a work of art that you would hang on a wall. Whereas in The Small House, on the work he's doing at the moment with the story, To the Sea Return.
I love that he's changed his whole panel layout. It's gone much more, like this is much more like chaotic, but that's more regimented, like almost like a Watchman, like not 9 panels, but like a set amount of panels per page.
But each page is like,
oh, it's gorgeous.
I'd have that page. Yeah. I'd have that page. You know, if you offered me any of these pages, I'd say, yeah, I'll take
it. If I could have the colours with it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
When he colours his own work, it's even better.
Even better, yeah. So each page.
I think he told me he would do swatches of colour.
Right.
And scan those for it. So
it's
like cut out colourings. I believe that's what he told me. And I asked him about it.
And, there he is. He's the best. He does wonderful sketches at conventions. Mm. He's a lovely guy to talk to. I just hope he's getting paid well by Tharg. Because I'm not, as you say, he hasn't really taken the American dollar because it doesn't really suit him. Thank goodness we've got him doing Dredd. It's just wonderful. I mean, I was just blown away.
Like, Rob is obviously someone who loves working with him. I'm surprised he's never brought him on like an independent, like he's done with Pi Par, like an independent work.
Yeah. However, if we see that there's a Rob Williams and Henry Flint Dredd story coming,
I'm there.
We're all there, aren't we? Just straight away. I mean, I think that applies to everyone.
It is my Wagner's during a Judge Dredd story. I'm reading it.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in the day, if it was Wagner, Grant, and Ascara were there, now it's Rob Williams, Henry Flint. The current story is called And to the Sea Return. It's got this weird,
I'd say, almost Lovecraftian type story.
Yeah.
Unknowable, which oddly Dredd has not really done. I can't think of, maybe Anderson probably has.
Right.
I could see Alan Grant writing an Anderson story that's quite like that. But no, I don't think Dredd's ever, like, he's dealt with a lot of strange things when we think about his history.
Yeah. Put his fist through the supernatural. Yeah.
Zombies, vampires, werewolves.
Yes.
Two types of body invading aliens, but one, a famous one, and others knock off one, the Star Child, I think.
Yeah, the lovely Star Child story, yeah.
Help me, I think I'm pregnant, I believe he says.
Yeah, I mean, great stories. But yes, here is Dredd in the current pages of the prog doing a sort of elder god rising from the sea to deal with. By the time this episode comes out, this that story with Rob and Henry would have wrapped up.
Yeah, they're normally about 7-8 parts, I think. Yeah. It, even trifecta was that, but it's like broken over three.
It's still going, but yeah. It's nearly, I think we're nearing the end of that story. Okay. I mean, let's just say, Rob and Henry, fantastic work, guys. Please keep it up.
Oh, yeah, of course, Henry was actually the original co-creator of Dave Frank with Rob.
Yes.
I forget that, because Disraeli did so much of making him his own.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, if you want, you know, it's either Disraeli drawing Dirty Frank or it's Henry.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Before I ask you about the finale, any other favourite moments or lines from this story? Or characters?
Have a little, I do love the incitement of the Sam's instruction of the murder in the sealed room. It's a very Agatha Christie's type, like, mystery, and he's the one that, like, he's, like, the one that has to figure it out through finding patterns and seeing those, and Judge Dredd basically makes him become a part of their architect to find the secrets.
Yeah, there is a murder that happens while a witness is sort of in a interrogation cube, and Sam is watching him, and it's gruesome and brutal. And of course, it is, as you say, it's like a locked room mystery, and a locked room mystery where they're actually watching what was happening, and they still can't see who did it. That's great. I mean, all the cast of characters in this one are fantastic. Gerhardt, I think, is great. Dirty Frank, who doesn't love Dirty Frank?
Who really goes through an ordeal in this one.
Really? And we find out, you know, we learn in this one.
And how Smiley has used that to manipulate him.
Yeah. Maitland is great. Of course, she will get her moment later on in A Better World. We wanted to mention this. There's obviously all the other...
Was this Giant's first return since Chaos Day? Because I think for a while fans were like, is he dead?
Yes, where's Giant?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Giant's back. Judge Sam is great, although, spoilers, this is his final
to that section.
Appearance. Okay, so before Grail Pages, any other works by Rob and Henry that we wanted to draw in here or mention?
We talked about Gerhardt, like, in the middle of this story, Gerhardt is still in the team, but, like, when he sees him in the main body of it, he's now on the long walk, and that's happened in Control, the story by Rob Williams and Chris Weston. I almost forgot the name. Yes, it's where he's been forced, basically, by Judge Pin, the chief of DCS?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, Rob's definitely spinning different plates that will intermingle with each other.
Yeah, that's another fantastic story and a fantastic collection is Judge Dredd Control with Judge the terrible Judge Pin.
So the confrontation after Dave Frank has... Well, spoiler, Dave Frank kills Judge Sam under the control of Smiley, and then he's sent to take Dredd out, but can't, and decides to take, we believe, take his own life.
Yep. Yeah, we believe Dirty Frank is gone in this story. I mean, spoilers again, he's not, but it does seem to be the end of the Dirty Frank story, along with the wonderful revelation about his origin, which I must admit, I really love. I thought that was extremely clever.
I believed he was dead for quite a while, probably over a year.
Yeah.
He returns in the Hershey series, which also is a story about a character we thought was dead for a while,
but
had a few more days left in, I guess.
Brilliant stuff. Right. Well, let's turn to the artwork again and say a tough round of the Grail page, because I suspect any page would do us.
I think I just did see a page I absolutely would want. The first choice would actually be the covers to it. I did try asking Henry about it, but I don't think he was selling it at the time.
Right.
The main, because I think this was made specifically for the trade. I don't think it was in the makers. Magazine?
No, it wasn't. That was specifically for the trade and for the advertising the trade.
But I would have this lovely three by three panel of Judge Frank being like hypnotized by Smiley. You see the ducks and then you see him burn and you see flow close up in the madness of Frank.
That is fantastic, because Judge Smiley has this sort of British, he likes tea, he likes sitting down, he has the flying ducks on his wall in his secret room.
I can see him being very softly spoken, never raising his voice.
And here he is controlling the mind of Dirty Frank. That is wonderful stuff. So we're going to give you the cover by Henry Flint. going to give you that page from sort of three quarters of the way through the book.
Yeah, it's probably nearish the end. Yeah, it's nearish the end, I'd say.
Any other pages that you wanted to pick out?
I'm just going to have a quick flick through.
There are a few covers at the back of the
as well. Yeah, I was looking at them. It's just fun, just for like the Henry Flynn chaos that he likes to do.
There's a lovely Coda story where Dredd and Giant are dealing with some...
I think they're going to be Judge Mechanicals, but they've lost control.
Yeah, some, you know, another Hall of Justice Robo-Dogs mission that, you know... that
whenever they do new tech, it seems to just not work.
Doesn't work well. It always goes wrong, and Dredd and Giant end up high-X-ing their way through them. But while they're doing it, they're having this conversation about, you know...
Giant really wants to try and break the shell of Dredd to see what he's actually feeling about Dredd being so stonewalled that he is. Won't show it.
Nope. Dredd Grimm shooting, putting his
little famous Wagner panels in it.
Yeah.
Dredd face scowling.
Yeah. And putting his lawgiver in the jaws of a robo hound and blowing it away, and then moving on to the next case. I'm going to mention, I picked out this page, which is Judge Sam looking out
is that near
over
the beginning
Main City
of
One.
Main
That's
story?
Nearly the beginning of the Main story, yeah. And I just love that page. Now, I think that page did actually come up very briefly on the forum for sale. And I think I did make a go for it, but then found out that I think somebody had snapped up all of the artwork, I believe.
That doesn't surprise me.
Thankfully,
Henry Flint is also just very popular in the community.
Everybody loves Henry Flint.
I'm luckily enough to own a piece myself of his. I don't know about you.
Yes, I've got a few Henry Flints. Yeah. What have you got?
I've got the page, I think it's from Trifecta, where Hershey's making Dredd wait.
Right.
While she pours herself a drink.
Nice. We love the Chief Judge Hershey and it Dredd interactions.
The original gal boss, you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. They're always great. I'm just looking to see if I can find.
So that's the one. Yeah, yours is on page 53.
Thank you.
And then my first pick was on. Oh yeah, it's mine's page 60. Though I just realised there's the page of I No Longer Recognise Your Authority would be a nice one at 63.
Right, okay.
He's got this shocked expression of Hershey.
Wonderful expression from Hershey, so, I will post all these images. That's Judge Sam looking out over Mega City 1 for me. For yourself, we've got the cover for the collection. We've got Smiley hypnotising Judge Frank. And we've got you. I No Longer Recognise Your Authority.
I bet that was the first one that probably snapped up.
I think that one is beyond our even our imaginary financial resources, because that one, and along with We Are Fascists, has probably been snapped up long ago, and they're not selling that.
It's probably early in the story, wasn't it?
So yeah, wonderful stuff. The finale, we do get. The conclusion, obviously, of the battle between Dredd and Smiley, a sort of mental battle that's been going on, particularly because Smiley has made, as ever, well, no, I won't say as ever, Smiley has finally made one small mistake. He's underestimated Dredd, and he's underestimated or he's forgotten one of Dredd's pieces on the board. And it leads to this confrontation on the city walls. And Smiley has sort of teleport technology and he tries to escape this situation that he's found himself in and tries to get through one of his portals.
But Dredd's already planned ahead of that with a message he gave Gerhardt before he went on a long walk.
Yeah. So Gerhardt has got into position and has shot Smiley. Smiley tries to escape. And again, spoilers, as he tries to escape through his portal, Dredd grabs him, and then Dredd finally gets to say...
I've got the page right here. Judge Smiley, for crimes against the people of Mega City 1, for your collaboration in the death of millions, I sentence you to death. And then the blue says, yes, this is my house.
There we go.
As he uses his own technology to bifurcate?
Yeah.
Split in the middle?
Yeah. Yeah. He holds him halfway through the portal as the portal closes, and you get left with half a Smiley.
Must not be a fun way to go.
No. End of Judge Smiley in this book. I mean, I think people will have tell from reading this. We've had a terrific time reading The Small House again. It is a slim volume. I think it's just about a one sitting read, but it is perfect in a way.
Under 100 pages. So yeah, it's definitely like maybe an hour's read, maybe two, depends on your speed.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you can have Dread, you can have a great team, you can have some baddies, you can have some weird stuff, you can have some funny lines, you can have some memorable lines that have almost changed Judge Dredd, the history of Judge
Dredd. One of those of many that we have had over the years.
Yes.
Yeah. And most of the others were just Wagner, but Williams has started to add it to his own.
Yeah. Henry Flint draws it all. You're just going to have a great time at this. So if you've not read it, read it. If you've not read it for a while, go back to it. The Small House is available, of course, from the 2000 AD store for $9.99. Paperback. There's still a £20 hardback.
Apparently. Really? Is that a different cover? Or just a hardback?
I don't know. Actually, I should check. But there's still a hardback.
They were doing a hardback which just had no text on.
Right.
Like they did it with Control, I believe.
Oh, okay. And it's $7.99 digital, which is where I've got it on my iPad here at the moment. And thank you for picking it, Graham. That was fun. You know, we get to talk about some of the serious stuff. Which is interesting. We get to talk about some of the great fun stuff. And of course, we get to talk about Henry's art. Fantastic. Guest projects. Now, we always say this because this is our third one upstairs in the junk room at Close Encounters in Peterborough. Close Encounters, I'm going to say it again, a proper comic book shop. It's your local, isn't it?
It's my local. It's one I've been coming to for almost a decade now.
Right. So you pick up most stuff here. And you've got a good relationship, obviously, with the people behind the counter. And they've very kindly, thank you, Close Encounters, thank you, Jeff. They very kindly let us use upstairs again to record. So it's fairly quiet, which is perfect for us. We're surrounded by comic boxes and junk. I say it's a proper comic book shop because, as well as the new stuff on the shelf, they've also got, they sell back issues.
Mm. That's a lot of my collecting nowadays.
Yeah. So. Everybody loves a back issue dive. They've got trades, including a lot of cheap trades. Of course, they have to do some of the figures, some of the Funkos, there's quite a lot of manga downstairs. Fair enough. That's what sells at the moment, isn't it? And they also do a great free comic book day, which, you know,
hopefully might return next year with the problems of Diamond and that.
Well, that's a good point, actually. We don't know, do we?
I know it was up for sale. I can't remember if it's been bought yet.
I was here in May 2025 this year for Free Comic Day. Great. Lovely. Got the comics I wanted. Bought some stuff. Great to see young families in there getting their comics.
Because I weighed at it that
right.
time. But normally I'm here.
I didn't see you this year, but no, normally I do see you.
Yeah, I was abroad at that point.
Right. But it was great, and it was lovely to hear the staff behind the counter saying to people, well, you know, I see you've got this. If you like this, you should have a look at this. Just doing it exactly as people, you know, recommends just what you want. So, yeah, it's a proper comic book shop. Long may they continue. There's one in Northampton and the other one's in Bedford, I think, isn't it?
The first one was Bedford, then it was Northampton for Jeff, and then this is the third one.
The Peterborough one. Broadway, Peterborough.
I believe also in Northampton they have an art gallery for comics art.
Yes. I haven't been there for ages, the panel gallery, but yes, he does.
They did do an exhibition for Steve Dillon.
Well, that's when I was there. Yeah, I think that's when everybody sort of tried to get to it, was for the Steve Dillon one.
I think it's still running around, like his daughter's still doing it.
It's still showing up at conventions. Mm. I'm not sure where it is at the moment. I saw it in a library in Stevenage earlier this year. So yes. Keep an eye out on the Steve Dillon exhibition because that does pop up and is...
Still a canon that's missed.
Yeah, real sad, isn't it?
Unforeseen, so tragedy.
So the recorder is saying we're coming up on the hour, so that's good. Anything else you wanted to mention? I think...
No, I think you've done it well enough with the shop and that.
Yeah, it's great, you know, and we don't mind being crammed in around with boxes full of comics around us. Exactly. In fact, there's one labeled Free Comic Book Day. And as you say, the aforementioned Diamond Comic Distributors. Who knows?
That would make a fascinating book when it all gets written about.
Yeah, they will. Yeah.
What I've said about it. Every week there was something new.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool. Thank you, Graham. Thank you very much for choosing The Small House. One of the most exciting reads I've had or rereads I've had recently. That's been great fun.
I did forget a lot of it, to be honest, when I did read it, because again, it's been such a long time since I picked it. And then, so it was fun for me to go back and go, oh, this happened in this one. Yeah, I remember that.
And we've got an idea for next time as well. So,
something different finally.
Yes, we will be looking at some different creators next time. Yeah, we'll be moving away from Robin.
Might come back one time.
I'm sure you will.
There's many other books they've done together.
So thank you to Graham, and thank you very much to Close Encounters and Peterborough. Till the next time that you and I are sat here together discussing some great comics. Thank you to everyone for listening to Mega City Book Club. Find all the links at megacitybookclub.com. Go to all the socials, where I will be posting the Grail page images that Graham and I have chosen the week after this episode comes out. And email me, mcbcpodcast@gmail.com. If you've got a book, a creator, a story that you want to come on the podcast and talk about, I'm still working through the backlog, but I will get to you, I promise. So till next time, it's goodbye from me, and
it's a goodbye from him.